You may be seated. I had no intention coming up here to talk about this, but after that song and Sister Alicia exhorting on that for a moment, praise team, I want you to hear this, so if you could, make your way. Got a couple of things I'm going to do before I preach. I hope you're okay with that. There's a couple of things I have to do. One thing I have to do, and this is what I want to do. I received this morning from a friend of mine, me and a few others. It used to be 36. I think there's more added to this text thread, but it's pastor, friends of mine. But absolutely incredible. I love when things are proven by a secular source, when the Word of God is proven by a secular source. Pretty incredible. And maybe if you're on LinkedIn, things like that, you might have come across this, seen this, but it's a study on water baptism. Britannica Encyclopedia, the 11th edition, volume 3, pages 365 to 366. If you would like to fact check this, what I'm going to talk to you about, but Water baptism. The baptismal formula was changed from the name of Jesus Christ to the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost by the Catholic Church in the second century. Volume 3, page 82 of the Britannica Encyclopedia. Everywhere. Somebody say everywhere.
Everywhere.
Look at your neighbor and say that means everywhere.
Everywhere
means everywhere.
Yes, sir.
Everywhere in the Old Testament, in the oldest sources, it states that baptism took place in the name of Jesus Christ. Page 53 of Canny Encyclopedia of Religion. The early church always baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus until development of Trinity doctrine in the second century. The Catholic Encyclopedia, Volume 2, page 263, if you're taking notes, or you can go back and listen to it later. Here, the Catholics acknowledged that baptism was changed by the Catholic Church. Hastings Encyclopedia of Religion, Volume 2, page 377. Christian baptism was administered using the words, in the name of Jesus. Volume 2, page 378. I say these, I know it's overkill, but I just want you to know I'm not making stuff up. The use of Trinity formula of any sort was not suggested in the early history. Volume 2, page 389. Baptism was always in the name of the Lord Jesus until the time of Justin Martyr, when true triune formula was used. The Catholic Encyclopedia, Volume 8, Justin Martyr was one of the early fathers of the Roman Catholic Church. Hastings Encyclopedia of Religion, Volume 2, page 377, on Acts 2 and verse 38. Name was an ancient synonym for person. Payment was always made in the name of some person, referring ownership. Therefore, one being baptized in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, because it was his personal property. Ye are Christ. Amen. The New International Encyclopedia, Volume 2, page 477. The term Trinity was originated by Tertullian, a Roman Catholic father. Encyclopedia of Religion and Ethics, 1951, pages 483 and 489. The formula used in the name of the Lord Jesus, or some synonym phrases, there is no evidence for the use of the triune names. The early praise. I'm about to get excited right now. The earliest form represented in Acts was simple. It was simple. In water, the use of the name of the Lord and the laying on of hands to these were addendum at the various times, place, which cannot be safely identified in tri-names. Here we go. This is a good part right here. A history of Christian thought. At first, baptism was administrated. At first, baptism was administrated in the name of Jesus. But listen, but gradually, in the name of the triune, God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But at first, from the beginning, it was in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read a lot more, but I'm not going to. But I have Brother Gary. He's going to send this out to you right now, actually. Incredible group of readings there for you to go and prove what the Bible has already tried to prove to us time and time again. If you're in the house today and you don't know Jesus in the power of the Holy Ghost and you've never been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of all your sins, today we have a baptismal tank that has warm water in it. We got changes of clothes, or we have robes in the back with clothes that you can put underneath that. You don't even have to have your own stuff. We got hair dryers back there. We have hairspray and all the good things that you need for you to be baptized in the only saving name, Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you today. What better day than Father's Day, dads? If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of all your sins, it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with the Pentecostal church formula. It has to do with this book right here. And when you have secular entities beginning to prove it over and over and over again, you cannot turn away from it. Except a man is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And the only way to be baptized is in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. I'm going to stop there because I want to preach what I'm going to preach about today or talk about it. The more I read in my office. I was continuing to go over to my office. A few things happened, huddle, all those things. I went back and read some more, and I sat over there, and as I was reading some more, Sister Alicia stopped, and I said, well, Jesus, you're trying to tell me to say something, so that's what I'm going to do. We're talking about the name. We're singing about the name. I want somebody to take on the name. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Praise God. I am so thankful to be in the house of God. I'm so thankful to be in a one God, Holy Ghost filled. Amen. Amen. There's no better thing, no better place to be a part of than the Apostolic Holy Ghost moving church. Amen. I want to encourage you, please do not retire from apostolic worship.
Amen.
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 Now, I'm obviously, some people don't care about this stuff, but I'm trying to give an example. At 10 years old, maybe younger, I can't remember when it was, but I remember my mom coming home. We'd been in Dillard's, still the same Dillard's. It's always been there my whole life. It's the only thing that's still there that's... Sorry. It's the only thing that's still there that was there like when I was a kid. But I remember walking through the bedspreads and the all of that, whatever that's called. I don't know what department that is, but... Home goods or whatever, walking through Dillard's, and I saw Brother Dustin, Dallas Cowboy bedroom set. I mean, there were sheets. There was a comforter. The shams and the pillows. There were curtains, y'all. There were rugs. I didn't get one, and I may still be a little bitter about that, but I remember coming home after I'd seen that one time, and I, you know, kids do, please. Like, I'm the face of the Cowboys is what I'm thinking in my brain. There's nobody else that's a fan. I'm the only fan at 10 or 11 years old. But I wanted it so, so bad, and it came with a Troy Aikman poster. Hold on. It wasn't just a poster. It was a piece of MDF board. I didn't know what that was then. But MDF board, and it was put on there, glued or whatever, and they did like little routing around the edges, and it was really awesome. It was so cool. And he's in his quarterback pose. He's at one of the two. I don't remember. I still got it today. I still have it today. Today. And nobody knows that I'm a Cowboy fan unless you go into my office and go in the back little corner and you look behind you and you'll see, I almost said the triune. That would not have been a good time to say this. You would have seen the Cowboy Trinity. Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin. There you go. And they're all there. I'm getting somewhere. I was a fan then. I was a fan when they won their first Super Bowl, second Super Bowl, and their third Super Bowl. I'm still a fan. I still like, if I get a chance, I don't get to watch them as much, but if I get the opportunity, I'm a fan like I was at 11 years old. I'm still excited about it. Even though we may not have the best quarterback out there, and everybody has their opinions, I'm still a fan.
Amen.
And I will, if I'm watching a game or I'm around, you know what? I'm going to get excited about that.
Right. All right.
And I'm going to be a big fan because I'm still a fan.
Right.
And it doesn't get old. I like it. I like football. I played football. Football was fun for me. It's one of the things that I felt like I excelled at in athletics. But I love that. Man, Troy Aikman. I used to get my hair cut where Troy Aikman got his hair cut. And at 30-something years old, the first time I realized that, lady been cutting my hair for years. And I'm like, how long has he been coming here? Oh, he's been coming here for years. And I'm like, are you joking? You know that I like the Cowboys. And he comes here, and you don't tell me this. And I just happened to sit down and realize that this man sitting right beside me. And it's Troy Aikman. I had to do everything I could do not to be the fanboy and be like, I didn't say a word. Dumbest thing I've ever done to date, probably. Didn't ask for his autograph. And he sat right there. And then he got up and he acknowledged me. And I was like, hey. I'm trying to prove a point.
Yeah.
My point is, I still like the Cowboys.
Yes,
I'm still excited about the Cowboys. I'm still excited about when I get to be around and see them, whatever. But this is the deal.
All right.
That's been a lot of years ago.
Yeah.
And I still like them. Our worship,
all right,
come on.
Our acknowledgement of who God is,
yes,
and honoring him. And listen to me. I kind of got on it on Wednesday night. Here I am again.
Come on.
And it's not even what I'm preaching about. I guess it actually will actually fit in here in a minute. But my point is, don't quit being a fan of Jesus Christ. Because this mess that I hear sometimes, oh, that's not my personality to clap. That's not my personality to be excited. That's not my person. Thank you, food on that list. Because the moment that somebody gives you that lottery ticket with the winning numbers, you will cease to be a deadhead. You will cease to be like, oh, okay. Or as I preach or as they sing, you're not worshiping them and you're not excited for them, though they're doing a fabulous job. But what you are excited about and what you are thankful for is your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there's nobody in this world that can do that except him. When you ask him to forgive you, when you ask him to transform you and renew your life and wash your sins. sins away. Truth Church can't do it. The United Pentecostal Church International can't do it. But God himself can do it. And we better get excited and be the biggest fangirls and fanboys out there. To give him praise and honor all of the time. If I could, I'm going to do this again in a minute, so just act like you didn't hear it, dads. If I could admonish you for a moment and tell you, be a fan and stay a fan of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Be a fan and stay a fan when it comes to everything to do with Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If you would, stand to your feet. Matthew chapter 5. My intention is not to preach per se, but I am going to talk a little bit today. Obviously going to talk to everyone, but I am going to be focused on our fathers today. Matthew chapter 5. Time out. Sit down. Maybe seated. I got to do this. I told you I had something else to do. You remember that? We have some Bible quizzers. And our Bible quizzers have made it to nationals. They will be competing in nationals. And nationals is not free. Nationals is not free. And you know, we don't do a lot of these. Obviously, I encourage you to give to certain things and encourage you to give to missions and missions weekly. If you don't know what missions weekly is, I guess I'll take the time to talk about that. That helps with our Father's Day offerings, our She's for Christ. That helps with our Mother's Day offering, Spanish ministries. There's so many different areas that we give to. And so if you don't give $5 a week to Missions Weekly, start doing that, like, today. Start doing it today, because that helps us give. We give the offering no matter what, and so it just pulls from Peter to pay Paul to make sure that happens. So I want to encourage you to give to Missions Weekly and give to missions. We have missionaries. If you don't know who they are, go to the prayer room and pray there with us, but also focus on one of the screens, and it'll show you all of our missionaries that we support. One of them. I'm not going to say their name out loud because it would be on the line, but they are in a country that you can't broadcast who they are because they're in a place that they could be killed tomorrow. And as we well know, it's made it all over the news, another apostolic movement, they had a missionary and his wife killed. And that's what this young couple, they go to. Anyway, that's not what I'm talking about today. But I ask you to give to those certain things, but this is something that we just started. We had no idea that we were going to have some incredible quizzers that we're going to make at the Nationals. We had all faith in them. We just didn't know that was going to happen. And so we need your help to make that happen. We have had our former quiz directors. They helped us out. They know some friends, and they got great lodging for our students and our coaches and parents that are going to go to that. But we're also going to be getting a van for them and helping in some other areas. And so I'm not going to tell you what to give, but I'm going to encourage you today, ushers, if you would, raise those envelopes. If you would like to give to our Nationals Bible Quizzing offering, you can do that. You can do that today. They'll give you an envelope. I'd ask you first choice to give on the give via envelope, but if you cannot give via envelope, give in the general fund online. That's usually the first thing that pops up. General fund, our office will know exactly where that goes. But please, it doesn't matter if it's $5, doesn't matter if it's $10. We need some money to help pay for this, because there's no kind of fundraising. Like I said, normally churches, I've talked to so many pastors and quiz directors of churches this week, as well as Sister Amber, but they have said they always have an idea. They know that their team probably could go to Nationals, and so they raise money for that throughout the year. And none of that has been done, but here we are, less than a month away from getting these kids off to Branson, Missouri. And I'd love to have enough money given today where we can help them out with some of the activities that they have as well. So thank you so very much. You can hold on to that and just put those in the boxes when service ends here in just a moment. Amen. I am super excited. I talked to two of my pastor friends here in North Texas, Brother Chad Flowers being one of them, and he was like, "That's pretty awesome. You got a team already after their second year going to nationals." And he was pretty overwhelmed that that happened. And so I am too, and I want our kids to know, and I want our coaches to know that we support them. Amen. That we support them greatly. Praise God. Again, remember, give to the general fund if you do give online. Do that today, if you would, so we can make sure that we know the date that that comes in, where that goes. Praise God. Now, Matthew chapter 5. Everybody's already read ahead, probably, but that's okay. Matthew chapter 5, and we'll be reading from verse 14, or reading verse 14 and all the way to 16, long ways. Ye are the light of the world. Dads, listen up, please. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Church, listen to that again. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither, this is crazy, huh? Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel or a basket, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see. Somebody say that somebody will see. Look at your neighbor and say, somebody needs to see it. Somebody needs to see that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Praise God. Lord, we thank you so very much for our time together today. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to talk to dads today and every parent, every child of God, every person that is in this building today. Lord, whether they're saint, whether they're sinner, God, it doesn't matter who it is. Lord, I want everyone to hear what thus saith the word of the Lord today. And Lord, I ask today that somebody would be touched, somebody would be changed. And most of all, Lord, I'm asking that somebody be motivated to serve you with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Lord, let someone be forgiven. Let someone be transformed and be baptized in your saving name, Jesus Christ. And the church says amen. 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 You may be seated. Today I am going to talk to you about let your light shine. Let your light shine. Dads, I'm really going to focus in on you a little bit today. Maybe be a little harsh than some. And I have felt for a little bit, and it kind of tried to come out on Wednesday evening when I was talking and teaching a little bit. But I am just bound and determined with the help of the Lord to motivate and to admonish and just continually try to get men of Truth Church to live passionately for Jesus Christ. You see, we'll do it for a lot of different things. We'll do it for a lot of different reasons. We'll do things for a lot of different reasons, and we'll be motivated to scream and holler at the game. We'll be motivated to finish the job. We'll be motivated to do all of these things. And we'll do it with passion. We'll do it with zeal. We'll do it with umph. We'll muster out the last bit of energy to get whatever it is that we're trying to get done. And we'll give ourselves to that thing or that stuff or that activity. Can I just take a moment and tell you, it's much more important to give your time, your energy, your talent, your desire, your want to Jesus Christ. Much more important to do that. I'm not saying that the other things are not important, or those other things that you should not do or participate in. But what I am trying to tell you is when it comes to living for God, we are to do that with all of our heart and all of our being. I hate this thing that people say it's like second nature to you. I don't want it to be. I want you to acknowledge what you're doing. I want you to think about, I'm worshiping God today. I'm magnifying God today. This morning, I'm going to acknowledge God. The Bible says when they go in, teach them. When they come out, teach them. Yes, it can become, oh, this is just what I do. But I want it to be more than just what you do. I want it to be who you are and think on it, believe on it. Say, this is what I am. I'm a worshiper. I'm a lover of Jesus Christ. I am propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ. Think about doing those things. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. In the previous verse, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, we read from 14 to 16, Jesus compared his disciples to salt. Now, in our text, he compared them to light. He calls them the light of the world. In fact, light, listen to this, light was a crucial symbol in Jewish worldview. Just as Greek culture prized knowledge and Roman culture valued glory, or in our modern America culture touched freedom, amen, Hebrew culture's ideal and standard was light. This concept factors heavily in biblical explanation of godliness and truth. Just for instance, if you'll turn your attention to the screen, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light. Listen to that again. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. Now I want to stop and look at this scripture for a moment. But the path of the just, the person that's right, the person that is baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, living an overcoming life every day. The path of the just is a shining light. Now this is where that, I told you it's going to fit in a minute. Being a Cowboys fan, this is it right here. That shining, that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. That means, ladies and gentlemen, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost for the very first time, and you are baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of all of your sins, and you are a worshiper, and you're excited, you want to hug everybody, you're excited, you want to be involved in everything, that doesn't mean that your light dims, involvement dims and your desire to serve him dims over time. But the Bible says that shineth more and more unto that resurrection day, that perfect day when we go get to be with him in paradise for all eternity. Ladies and gentlemen and fathers, I want to encourage you today. Let your light shine more and more and more. More than it did the day that God filled you with his spirit. More. Oh, hallelujah. Those that are just different, but I don't think so.
All right.
I feel that it is a choice. I get tired too.
Yes.
I get overwhelmed too.
Yeah.
I get sick and tired too.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
But Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. The least that I can do is remain on a perfect course with him. Lord, I still love you. Lord, I'm still thankful for the Holy Ghost. I'm still thankful that you wash me and make me clean. Lord, your word's still interesting to me today. Just like it was the very first time that it came interesting to me. I can tell you, when I was a kid, there's those of you that have been in the church a long time, probably the word of God wasn't the most important thing to you. When you were a kid, you liked church, you loved Sunday school, you loved coming to church, but it wasn't the most important thing, but you could probably point. You can probably go back to the moment in time, the day, the hour, the moment where this word really became something to you. Can I encourage you? Let it become something to you afresh every single day. It's still powerful to me. I still love it, Jesus. Thank you for giving me the way. Thank you for giving me the truth. Thank you for giving me the light. Thank you, Jesus. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to allow that light to shine that you put inside of me. Ladies and gentlemen, don't let it die. But every single day, let it get more and more until that perfect day is coming. Another example for us is John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, listen to this, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You had no idea. You had no idea, Sister Ashley. No idea. I didn't know what you were going to talk about. When I scheduled you and you were like, are you sure? I said, yes, I did. You need to say something. I had no idea. What was going on? She talked about it. Brother Jonathan referred to it. When there's darkness and there's stuff and there's things going on, he's still the light.
Yes.
And I need to make sure that the light that he put inside of me the day I was filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, when I'm going through darkness and messed up, blessed be. It's not that I'm putting on the front.
Come on now.
Come on.
At the end of the day, listen, just for instance, this helps, you know. At the end of the day, when we went to the specialist oncologist and we left right past the Casey's on the west side of the highway in the 82, there's an oncologist right down there. I don't know, right past Starbucks, looking to all that good stuff. When we left there and we went to Medical City Dallas and we walked into the emergency room and we went to them and they took us up to the room, finally, at the end of that day, when she had already started chemo that day, God was still God. He was still the light of the world. He was still great and greatly to be praised. And so I take you back to this scripture. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, even when you get a bad diagnosis, shall not walk in darkness. So that means that I'm not supposed to be doom and gloom and, oh my goodness, this is the worst thing ever. No. What I'm supposed to do, the Bible says, but shall have the light of life. Who's the only one that gives life? Jesus. In him we live and we move and we have our being. So when you get your bad diagnosis, when you get your bad news, when you have the bad car wreck, guess what? He's still the light that shineth in your spirit and in your heart. And what you do is put a smile on your face. What you do is get excited. You're still the light of life. I'm still here to worship you and to honor you. My only thing in life to do is to give you glory and honor that is due to your name. Oh, hallelujah. But shall have the light of life. In this life, if we have hope in what's around us, man, we're of all men most miserable. Speaking or talking about verse 14. Spiritually speaking, there is no light in the world apart from Jesus Christ. His light. His light, though, ladies and gentlemen, shines through every person who belongs to him. In this way, the light of Christ is distributed into the darkness in every corner of humanity. In your workplace, students, in your schools. Men, would you hear me today? Fathers, would you hear me today? The light of Jesus Christ is distributed in the darkness of this worst and gross and nasty world through you. Yeah. Yes. Men, if you have the Holy Ghost, fathers, if you have the Holy Ghost, would you stand to your feet right now? If you don't, I don't want you to be sad. I don't want you to be mad. I want you to say, Lord, I'm hungry for it. Because if you're hungry and thirsty for righteousness, the Bible says, ye shall be filled. You can be filled before you leave this place today. Remain standing for just a moment. Men and dads that are in the room, I want to encourage you. I know it's Father's Day, but men, you have the opportunity in some day in life that you can be a dad. So I want you to prepare before you're even there. Can I encourage you right now that Jesus Christ, he puts himself inside of you and you ask him to forgive you of your sins and the wrong that you've done. And he comes and takes up residence in your life and you become a light in a dark world. And it is important that you understand that I am the only light that he may see. That she may see. Listen to what I said. Spiritually speaking, there is no light in the world apart from Jesus Christ. None. And the only way that that's going to be shining is through you and me. That's why I got excited the other day. Because why? You want to know more. I want to know more about Jesus. I want my life to get brighter and brighter and brighter. When you do that, say, hey, now I want to tell somebody else about it, that they could have the same desire that I want. It's not your desires anymore. It's His desires placed in you. Say, God, show me you. Let me learn about you, that I may shine your light in a dark world. Men, it matters how you respond. In church, it matters how you respond at home. It matters how you act at work. If there's your friends and your brothers or the person that you go to the same gas station every single day or every single week, they don't know that you're apostolic, Holy Ghost filled, child of God. Shame on you. Shame on you. Every waitress that you frequent going to that restaurant should know that you're a child of God, that you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Every person that you do business with, they need to know that you're a child of God. It doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you inferior. They need to know that you're set apart. They need to know that you're different than everything else and everybody else. You're a true Christian. I wear it on my shirt sleeve. Not that I have any kind of pride and that I get any kind of vain glory, but that God gets the glory. That's what the scripture says. Let your light so shine before men. You may be seated, men. That this light is meant to be visible to the world is also important. Jesus adds to the metaphor by referring to a city positioned on top of a hill. It is not meant to be hidden. Can I just stop for a moment? That's why I said what I said just a moment ago. If the places that you frequent on a weekly and on a daily basis don't know that you're a child of God, they don't know that you're baptized in Jesus' name. I know, I get it. I worked in the construction world. You may think, that makes me inferior. It makes me weak. No, it's not.
No, sir.
No, it doesn't. It needs to be known that you are a child of God. It needs to be known that you're bought with a price. A city on a hill is meant to be seen and found even in the darkest of night.
Amen.
Let your light so shine.
Amen.
Oh, Pastor, but I work in a place where I'm around people that man, I really can't do that because this could happen or that could happen. You do not have to stand on the lunch table and start preaching like Peter did or Paul did or any of those individuals, but you can let your light so shine before men. Brother Trevor, if you would help. Actually, it's on the system. Never mind. Can't even turn a light. I need a light switch, and I can't even use a light switch. Did you know that a light switch, when it's turned on, unless you do it really slow, you can't hear anything. You can't hear anything. There's nothing said. There's nothing that's like, boom! Now, there are some that have contactors. I get it, electricians. I get all that stuff. There are some of those ones that you turn them on, and the contactor kicks in over at the breaker, and you hear all that. But a normal light switch. We're all normal in the house. Well, some of us are. I'm joking. My point is, you don't have to make a big deal to let your light so shine.
Amen.
You hear me?
Yes,
you don't have to make a big deal. You don't have to make a big to-do or throw a party. I'm a child of God. No. Just live holy. Acceptable. Come out from among and be separate. Amen? A light is supposed to be seen by all.
Right.
People are supposed to see it and recognize it. Amen. A city on a hill is meant to be seen and found even in the darkness of night. During the time of Christ, the walls around a city on a hill were often made from white limestone, which would be relatively easy to see, even during a dim night. Dads, I want to admonish you again, if I could, for a moment. In the same way, the light of Christ is not meant to be hidden on the earth. It is meant to shine out brightly for all who belong to Him. It is meant to be discovered in this way by those still in the darkness. You see, gentlemen, fathers, there are those that may live in your home that are still in darkness. No, they're not bad people, but they don't have the Holy Ghost living in their life. And your light shining can be discovered by your 10-year-old, by your 5-year-old, by your 6-year-old. It is to be discovered for those that are in darkness. Jesus will add to this point in the following verse that Christ's light should not be covered up in the lives of His followers. It's meant to be seen. Yes. Daddies, it's meant to be seen. I said it's meant to be seen. This week, I was in a business and they knew that I was a preacher. I didn't tell everybody. I didn't broadcast it to anybody. One person I have talked to about it. One person I have shared testimony after testimony of life. It's been in my life. I've known this individual for many, many years, over 20 years. And she hasn't always done this business at the same spot. She's moved, but every place everybody knew that he's a preacher. He's a child of God. He knows Jesus Christ. He is in communion with him. It's not the pin roses on me because I didn't say it to nobody else except one person. But that one person began to shine that light to this individual and to that individual. And I don't even know how many times that I have been asked, hey, my daughter, she's been diagnosed with cancer. Here recently in the past 5 months, hey, listen, my daughter, the reason I'm here from Belize is my daughter had a horrible car wreck. Would you please pray for her? For sure. Not that I get any credit, not that I get any vainglory, but the Bible says that we are to be a city, church, set on a hill. We are to shine bright the light of Jesus Christ. Everybody in the supermarket should know who you are. They should know that you're a child of God. I don't even remember the lady's name at Albertson's in Sherman, but she knows that I'm a child of God. She knows that I love Jesus. She knows that I'll stop in a moment and pray for her.
Yes, sir.
And she's going in for a test for cancer. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not that you get any glory. Dads, hear me today. More than anything, ladies are always open. They want to talk about everything. But men, daddies, you and I don't always want to do that. Some of you don't talk to them at home, but you definitely don't talk to them at here because I see. And I'm going to tell you something. It's not biblical.
All right.
If I should be seeing it anywhere, Sister Judy, I should be seeing people right here talking to Jesus. Letting their light shine.
Amen.
I should never have to say, hey, let's worship the Lord. We should already be worshiping the Lord. Why? Because I gotta let my light shine. If you don't practice it in the gym, this is the gym, ladies and gentlemen, you're definitely not gonna practice it out in the open and out where the true game is going on. Right here you need to be serving God. Right here you need to be loving God. Right here you need to be clapping your hands. Right here you need to be living out loud. And then you'll live out loud out there. Listen to me as I give you a little bit of history concerning verse 15. Night could be very dark during the time of Jesus. In fact, the modern eyes in a time of electricity, the icky nighttime darkness of the ancient world likely would be shocking. On a moonless or overcast night, people would have struggled to see their hand in front of their eyes. We don't even comprehend that today. There's so many lights. In a plane, if there's a flying over a pasture area and there's one small little house, you can see the light shining. We don't get it like it was in those days. Caves and interior of large rooms would have been naturally devoid of light. Light was available in the form of fire, including oil lamps. As houses grew dark after sunset, lamps would be lit, if available, distributed around the house. Placement was key. The lamps would be put on the stand in the optimal spot, hear me, in the optimal spot to provide as much light to the room as possible. This is the point that Jesus is commenting on, that he's talking about in this verse. Why would anyone light a lamp in the nighttime and then put a basket over it? They would not. Jesus says the light of lamps is meant to be seen in the same way that the light of Christ is meant to be seen in the world. When you were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when you were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you were baptized in Jesus' name, you were lit up. And I'm not talking cool talk like the kids do. I don't even know if that's cool anymore, but I'm talking about you were lit. He set a fire inside of you. He put the Holy Ghost fire inside of your life. And Sister Doris, the Bible says that it's got to be set in the optimal place to be seen by all. What's the point in getting lit? That was funny. Y'all can laugh. I heard somebody snicker. What's the point in getting lit by Jesus Christ if you're going to put a basket over it? There's no point in that. That's not what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be put in the optimal place to make sure that people can see Jesus Christ and that he be glorified and magnified and lifted up. What's the point, Sister Sheila? Going into a marketing meeting and getting the best marketing stuff put out there, but we don't show it on TV. We don't put it on the billboards. All of the things that were put together to make sure that we have all of the nice displays and end caps, what if we didn't put them out in the stores? There would be no point in that. There would be a waste of time and a waste of money and productivity. Ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus Christ filled you with the Holy Ghost, he intended you to let everybody see. You don't got to talk about it necessarily. You don't got to shout it from the rooftops, but you are to let everybody see the light of Jesus Christ shining from you. Men, I wish you would have a revival inside of you. Those of you that got talents, those of you that got want to and desire to serve God, I would that you would have a revival to do that with all of your might. That you would. I can't make you. I can only encourage you to let your light shine. By way of analogy, believers in Jesus, Christians, apostolic Holy Ghost filled Christians are the lamps. In fact, they are the only source of true spiritual light, the light of Christ. The light is meant to be seen. So Jesus tells his disciples not to hide it or cover it up for any reason. The following verse is a famous expression of the need for children of God and his goodness to be visible to the world. Doing the works, rather, given by God is how his disciples will distribute his light. Following the to-dos to work how God desires you to work helps distribute the light. If we, as dads, if I could talk to you again for a moment, put a basket, put a cover over the only lamp in a workplace, the only lamp in the neighborhood, the only lamp at your kids' extracurricular activity. If you put a cover on top of that lamp, hiding the light, it makes it useless. And I don't know about you, dads, but I don't want to be useless to God. You could disappoint me and be useless to me. I mean, but to God. Brother Austin, he saved you from a world of drugs. He saved you from a life that you're not proud of. To put a cover on that so nobody around you knows would be useless to God. Amen. Not to mention it make me sad as your pastor. But more importantly, to the only one that can save you, I can't save you. I can't take you to heaven. Only God can take you to heaven. So every store you walk in, every time you go into the gym to train, every time you go in to clean a house, every time you go to work on a car, whatever it is that you do, step behind your desk. Maybe you work from home. The people that you have communication with on a daily basis need to know that your light is shining. They need to know, ladies and gentlemen, as a church, but most definitely, men of God, daddies, your children need to see you shine the light of Jesus Christ. Starting in verse 16, Jesus has described his disciples as first the salt of the earth and then the light of the world, as we read in Matthew chapter 5. Salt is meant to be salty and becomes worthless when it loses that quality. Light is meant to be seen by those in the darkness. It has no value, listen to me, if covered up or hidden. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but this is the deal. I've been here a long time, and I guess this is old age kind of getting to me, I guess. I don't know. Or maybe I think that I can talk like this because I'm getting older. But I'm still excited about Jesus, and I still worship Jesus. And I still let everybody know that's around me, not by running through the street saying, hey, I'm a pastor. There's pastor friends of denominational churches that walk down up and down Main Street. Maybe I should do this. I don't do this. I just try to do it on the fly, I guess. But they give their cards, and they shake people's hands, and they let them know. Maybe that's how it needs to be done. I don't know. But I just try to be a good, Holy Ghost-filled child of God. I don't introduce myself as Pastor Darren. If you're here, I sometimes do. But out in the world, I don't introduce myself as Pastor Darren. Darren Gilbert. And I try to let that light shine from me.
Right.
Without saying a word about a Bible or toting a Bible underneath my arm. Be careful doing that, ladies and gentlemen. Be careful doing that. Be careful toting your Bible underneath your arm all the time, because that becomes a crutch for you and you feel like, oh, because I got this Bible, I'm a born-again child of God. No, it doesn't mean that. And to be quite frank, it's not biblical, because the Bible says to hide the word in your heart. Anyways, that's... Majority of the time they were in the synagogue studying the word. Anyways, that's another time. And they were house to house breaking bread. Anyways, but my point is that you need to let your light shine without it being obvious. Amen? Do business as a child of God. Amen? Every single teller, and I don't even go. I hardly ever go to the bank anymore. It's all done online. But every single teller that I used to go through there, they knew that I was a child of God. You know why? Because I've got to let my light so shine before men. My doctor, Dr. Hodge, he knows that I'm a child of God. He knows the moment that he gave us it could be leukemia. He knew as we began to speak the name of Jesus right then. He knows. Your doctor needs to know. Your neighbor needs to know. The neighbor that makes you mad as a hornet down the road needs to know that you're a child of God. You need to get mad as a hornet in your living room, and don't get mad as a hornet when you drive past their house. It's all messed up and crazy, and they made you mad, and their dog poops in your yard. Whatever. You need to be a child of God. And let your light so shine before men. And if you let your light shine, they may come pick it up. You never know. It has no value. You want to have value to Jesus Christ?
Yes,
sir. I mean, he's made us. He saved us. He's given us opportunity to be with him for all eternity. I know I'm a little nothing and your ways are beyond my ways, but God, if I can be of some value to you, if I can do something for you, if I can get with your vision, Jesus, then I want to get with your vision. I want to do it, Jesus. I want to shine the light. I want somebody to know. I want people to come to you because of the light that I'm shining. If you want to do that, would you clap your hands under the light? This verse provides a practical, verse 16, provides a practical application of Jesus' teaching about being the light of the world. Disciples display the light of Jesus by doing the good works which God intended for them, even if acting Christ-like in a way earns persecution from the world. I'm still going to be a Christian. I'm still going to be a believer. Believers are meant to shine that light into a dark world. Another lessons that he gives, Jesus expands on the meaning of doing good works. An important point he makes later in the Sermon on the Mount involves proper motivation. Good, this is what I was talking about a moment ago. Good works done for God's sake in ways that bring glory to God ought to be done so that they can be seen. The light of a child of God, his goodness, is meant to be shining out so that good, or that God rather, would be glorified. However, in situations where the world is likely to merely praise the Christian, it's better, hear me, the act to be done in secret. Yes. To avoid what we are all subject to, arrogance and pride. That's what I'm talking about. Is it good to carry your Bible everywhere? Probably so. But be careful in carrying and toting that Bible everywhere. Amen? Be careful. I'm a child of God. And you're going against the Bible right then. Well, that's not my attitude. It looks like it's your attitude. So why don't you hide some of those scriptures in your heart and ask God, put me in the way to shine my light. And then when somebody comes to you and begins to talk to you, you can begin to regurgitate what you have hidden in your heart and let that light so shine before men that they may see your good work. It's important. Christ is the only spiritual light in the world, as I stated a moment ago. And that truth is distributed through his people. The truth of the Word of God is distributed through you. Understand that when you keep your mouth shut, you are messing up the circuit. You have to have a circuit. You have to have a breaker from the breaker to the light switch, from the light switch to the light. If you do not let your light shine, you are messing up the circuit. There's nothing wrong with the breaker, which is Jesus Christ. He saved you. He's given you a testimony. He has pulled you out of darkness and placed you into marvelous light. He's given you joy unspeakable and full of glory. When he puts you in this world, let the light shine. Don't stop up the breaker. Don't be a bad switch, and they do have those. I found that out here in the gym. You can go to the store and buy a brand new light switch and install it, and it doesn't work. Don't be a bad light switch. Let your light so shine before men. His disciples being born again Christians, believers, they do good and they work to make sure that those around them see that good. And I want to admonish you and encourage you as children of God, Truth Church members and dads today, let them see the good works that they may glorify and magnify our Savior. Stand to your feet all across the building. Ushers, if you'd please come forward with those baskets. Just give me a moment. Shine. Shine, the verb. To give off or reflect light. What does it mean to shine? Do all things without grumbling or dispute, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and a twisted generation, among whom you shine as light in the world. Listen to this, dads, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. In the Gospel of John, Jesus called the true light, which gives light to everyone. Throughout the New Testament, the followers of Jesus are called to be lights in the darkness. So what does it mean to shine? It means that you, Dad, I'm talking to everybody, but right now I'm specifically talking to dads, because as goes the dad, goes the wife. As goes the dad, goes the children. As goes the men and the dads that go here to Truth Church, as goes the church. What does it mean? It means being counter-culture. We live in a dark world full of lies and hate and confusion. But God's word tells us to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of, I'm not of this world. I'm not like this world. I don't want to look like this world. I don't want to act like this world. I don't want to even fit in. Parents, shame on you. Dads, shame on you. And I say that with every bit of anger that can possibly be mustered up, still being a Christian. Shame on you if you want your kids to fit in at school, fit in at the workplace, and fit in the neighborhood. Shame on you. And if that makes you mad, thank you, Jesus. Go to the prayer room and let God fix it. Come and talk to me and I'll help you. You know what my job is? Nobody wants this. Nobody wants it. I have learned this. Nobody wants it, because there's been countless times since I've been pastor. Come to me and let's talk about it. You're wrong, but come to me and let's talk about it. And I'm not going to be mean, but I am softly going to break that leg. And I'm going to love you and your family and everybody around you, and I'm going to keep you under my wing, because that's what God has called me to do. If you want it, if you want to live for God, if you want to be in the fold, you'll do that. But a lot of people don't want that. So, man, I'm telling you, be counterculture. Daddies, be counterculture. While others are chasing physical pleasures and selfish gain, We're commanded to live in a different way. To put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to this. Make no provision for the flesh. Well, that's just what I want. That's flesh. I just really don't. That's flesh. I don't think there's really. That's flesh. Contrary to what you think. That's flesh. That is flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. It's scripture. Go look at it in Romans. What does it mean? Putting yourself out there. Dads, I'm talking to you. Hey, Dad, I'm talking to you. Put yourself out there. Jesus said, let your light shine before others. He explained that no one lights a lamp and just hides it under a basket. A lamp is meant to be placed on a stand giving light. I know you heard this, to everything around it. Whether you're timid or outgoing, you're called to be the light to the people around you. That's not my personality, Pastor. Whether you're timid or whether you're outgoing, you're called to be a light to everyone around you. That's only possible if you're taking time to interact with people and collectively you're building a relationship with them. I'm going to put my head down. I'm going to cover up. I'm not going to listen to you. My children, they go to a Christian school. All right? But let me tell you something. Every chance I get, every moment I get, not only do I invite, but I talk about the things of God. There's text messages, a guy named Ryan and a guy named John. We text often, constantly, inviting, letting them know. Oh, yeah, I won't be able to make it to that birthday party. Our kids got camp going on. Won't be able to do that. Is it on Wednesdays? I'm going to be able to do. Why? Because I'm letting my light shine. I'm not trying to be a Mr. Holier than thou. I'm just letting my light shine. I'm letting them know that, no, basketball's not going to be more important than my God. Football's not going to be more important than my God. The track meet is not going to be more important. It's not pinning any roses. It's just letting it be known that, hey, I'm letting my light shine. Oh, they value God and church, and it's important. It is. Daddy, I'm talking to you. What does it mean to let your light shine? Last thing. Singers, if you'd please come. Always point back to the light source. When Jesus said, let your light shine before others, that wasn't the whole sentence. He went on to give the reason why it is important to shine, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Our goal should never be to bring recognition to ourselves, but to bring glory to God. There's a fine line between being the light and putting on a show, getting attention, and it's a matter of the heart. Men, daddies, I'm offering you time to come to this altar right now. Every dad in this room, I want you to come to this altar. Bring a child with you. Bring a wife with you. If you're a dad and you're in this room, you come first, if you would, please, and bring somebody with you. Those of you that are in the room, and what I talked about, baptism, has convicted you and you want to get baptized in Jesus' name, I want you to see one of my helpers here, Sister Olivia, Sister Ashley, Brother Trevor, these individuals up front here. They'll pray with you. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost and you'll get baptized in Jesus' name today. I believe it. Daddies, I want you to make your way. If you're a dad, make your way. Make your way to the front. I have ushers here and they're going to give you a light. And it's simply, I know it's a little gift, but it's simply this. It's to give you a reminder that I need to let my light shine. Get your little keychain, put it on there. Put it on your keychain, let it constantly. I know the paper's going to go away, the baskets or little bags are going to go away. But I want this flashlight to remind you on a daily basis, I've got to let my light shine. Daddies, you got to let your light shine for your daughter. You got to let your light shine for your son. You got to let your light shine for your wife. You got to let your light shine for your coworkers. You got to let your light shine that they may see your good works and it may glorify your Father in heaven. As they begin to sing, and when every eye closed, if you would make your way from the seats, everybody else, if you'd make your way to this altar right now. And I want you to let God begin to bring conviction today. I want you to let him overwhelm you today. God, I've got to let your light shine through me. I've been living as a lackadaisical Christian, a lackadaisical disciple. I've been doing my way and not your way. Lord, you've convicted me of things. You've placed things in my heart, my spirit. Lord, I've been obedient to certain things, but now, Lord, I'm wavering from those things. God, I desire you right now to convict me afresh. Let me see the importance of obedience in those things, those traditions, Lord, that I've taught and I've learned and I've put in myself and I'm not going to turn away from. In the name of Jesus, I want to be a light that shines in a dark world. I want to be, Lord, what some have mentioned and exhorted about, a peculiar people. Lord, let True Church be a holy nation today. Come on, would you lift your hands and pray all across this building? God, I want to let your light shine for me. In this dark world, Lord, I want to let your light shine. Come on, sir. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come and let somebody pray for you. Ma'am, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name for the washing away, the remission of all your sins. Come. What are you doing? You're starting the circuit right now. Your breaker is getting wired right now. You're about to be that shining light for Jesus Christ. You're beginning the trajectory that Jesus intended every sinner, every saint, every child of God to live. Live how he's wired us, how he's made us. Not live on our own and what we want to do. We'll mess up the circuit.
You make the
God, I want to live wholeheartedly for you. In the name of Jesus, come on, all across this building, would you lift your voice to him? Would you cry out to him?
Call these bones to live.
God, I want to live for you, Jesus. I want to live separated.
I will praise
Jesus,
Jesus.
Daddy, let your light shine.
Jesus,
let your light shine. I know you have a short fuse. I know there's turmoil in the home. I know there's not a unity and agreement in the home. But let your light shine nonetheless. Commitment to him today. It's been too long since somebody's asked for a commitment. I'm asking on this day, dads. I'm asking on this day, ladies and gentlemen. Make a commitment that you're going to let your light shine. You're not going to be lackadaisical. You're not going to be a pushover. Apostolic. Holy Ghost.